Far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Welcome to Nosebleeds, your place for baseball. Here at WFUV, I'm Derek Bullier here with Chase Benson and Angel Ducret here to talk Yankees, Mets, and maybe even some Diamondbacks. Maybe we'll get into it later. But before we get into baseball, how are we doing today, guys?
Man, it's been a long month. I think I'm the only senior here right now.
I'm a freshman.
Yeah, I'm going through all those like senioritis and just events and costs and everything. So like being able to be on a podcast, especially talk baseball, Yankees, I mean, it's great. Going to the Yankee game later today to, you know, catch some Royals action on Jackie Robinson Day. So that's type dope. But I'm good. I'm here. I'm alive. You know, we're here talking baseball. What about y'all?
I would say I've been doing better in the past, but not really feeling too great today as far as, you know, like I'm a little bit sick. But, I mean, Easter break's coming up right now. I'm done with classes today. Thank God. I know. I'm done with classes today. I don't got Wednesday classes. I'm done. I'm going to Pittsburgh soon to hang with my boy. So, you know, like, vibes are great right now. Got a nice little podcast. I'm excited to do it.
Exactly. I'm so excited to talk baseball with you guys. I'm on Easter break right now. I'm done with classes. I'm going to the Cleveland series with the Yankees later. So if anyone listening is a Yankee fan and we get swept in Cleveland, it is my fault, and I apologize in advance. Hopefully it doesn't happen, but I tend to have bad luck.
Thanks.
We'll see. The last time I was in Cleveland, I watched Mike Ford hit a home run, and that was, Mike Ford's my least favorite player of all time. I hate Mike Ford.
Mr.
But anyway,
Mike Ford.
I hate Mike Ford. That's a different podcast. I can do that later. But let's talk about the Yankees. I mean, that's what we're here to do. The Yankees so far this season, they're not playing bad, but they're playing worse than we thought they would when we saw them at the beginning. I mean, the Brewers, they had a historic series. I mean, everyone's talked about it. Torpedo bats, 20 runs, 9 home runs in a game. But they've kind of cooled off as of recently. They won last night against the Royals pretty handedly. It felt a lot more handedly than it actually was. It was 4-1, but we hit 4 solo home runs. Or the Yankees hit 4 solo home runs, excuse me. Bobby Witt Jr. also had a home run. That was all the scoring in the game. But after losing back-to-back series to the Giants and the Tigers, the Yankees aren't really in the spot that a lot of people thought they would be after that first series. And after not a bad series against the Diamondbacks, as Chase, I'm sure, was happy to see where the Diamondbacks won that series against the Yankees, but they weren't playing horribly in that series. But the Yankees,
I have to disagree.
The Yankees really aren't where we thought we would be. So
for sure.
Yeah.
I think offensively, they definitely took a dip since the Milwaukee series. I mean, the Milwaukee series, like, I'm not saying the Brewers are a bad team.
That was not sustainable.
Exactly. Like, that's not something I'm thinking is going to happen throughout the entire season, you know? Like, but at the same time, you're thinking certain guys are going to perform consistently than they have been. Like, Jazz has been in a slump. Volpe's been in a slump. You know, I can just start riffing off names.
Jazz thankfully hit 2 home runs recently and got out of his, like, 0 for 24.
Hopefully that helps him, you know? Like Dominguez was in a slump. Like, everyone besides, like, Judge and Goldschmidt and Rice.
Goldschmidt's been Goldschmidt, yeah. And Rice. We'll get into them.
But no, yeah, for sure. They've been amazing. But that's the top of your lineup when the rest of the guys haven't been doing anything lately. So, you know, when you look at all that production not coming from the offense and you already have a weak starting rotation and bullpen, you need something to be, like, a effort. Like, you need something to be above average to win these games. Either your pitching is going to shut out people or either your offense is going to outscore people by, you know, 5-plus runs or whatever. But hopefully, you know, nice win against the Royals, you know, rematch of the ALDS, you know, hopefully this is some kind of momentum.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the pitching staff has been the main talking point for the Yankees. I mean, we saw, as Yankee fans, some really I don't want to say bad, but some really not great pitching, especially we saw, I mean, I wasn't thinking
of the word bad. I was thinking of some worse.
We saw Marcus Stroman not even get out of the first against the Giants.
I was at that game. That was
You went to the
awful.
Game?
That was terrible. Yes. The weather was terrible, but the pitching was worse. Like it was terrible. He couldn't throw a strike, and then every single time he throw a strike, they just absolutely like slap it across like in a gap or something. I think they let off with a double, then a walk, and then a home run. It was just he got like what, one or maybe two outs.
He got two outs, gave it five runs, I believe.
Yeah, dude, it was awful.
The only thing that saved the Yankees in that series was the fact that it got rained out and it got canceled. Because if the bullpen needed to get four more innings, they would not have survived this far, because they didn't have a break at all.
Yeah.
But the pitching staff has been the problem. I mean, Carlos Rodon, his first start wasn't bad. After that, he dials in and has four good innings, and then the fifth or sixth inning, it just falls apart, and he allows three home runs in the same inning, and he allows six runs.
You know what's crazy? I saw something on social media recently. Like, Rendon will give you – he can throw you 100 pitches. 90 of those pitches, he'll look like a top 10 pitcher of the entire league. Like, he'll shut out a team, strikeouts. I mean, you saw in his last start, like, he was striking out, like, every Giant there was. I almost forgot that you played for the Giants. It was, like, a nice little rematch for him. But – it's always that one inning. It's always those like 10 couple pitches that he throws are the mistakes. And it's not just mistakes where, you know, they get hits off him and whatever, hard hits. It's always the long ball. The man doesn't know how to keep the ball in the field, and that's what kind of screws him. Like, he had an amazing outing until those four runs popped up. And I mean, four runs should not be a lot to beat the Yankees given the offense that we should have, but again, when we're riding a offensive slump that we've been against the Giants, Tigers, Pirates, Diamondbacks, all those teams, it's just you need someone who's especially going to be your number two starting rotation to kind of give you some A-quality baseball. And, I mean, like, to your point, he did for the majority of the game, and just one inning just always his issue.
Yeah. No, it's a shame to see it, because he's competing so hard up there, and then it's just like, you're right, the one inning, the breakdown.
Yeah.
It's just like those bombs he's letting up, like, if they were any other kind of hit, he would be chilling. And honestly, like, four runs, you're right. Like, the Yankees should be able to, if a team was putting up four runs against them, like, every game, every other game, they should be able to win majority of the games because they have the offense. They do have it. It might not be performing up to, like, the expectations right now, but they do have the offense that's capable of doing that. It's a shame to see them fall off like so like rapidly in those innings, you know?
I like watching the Yankees no matter the good and the bad, right? But like those innings that occur that looks like the Yankees forgot to play baseball just really frustrate me as a fan. Like when pitchers don't know how to, you know, get out of an inning, and just especially Rendon, right? Like he gave the two home runs to Lee. And I remember saying this because it's just the pitcher in me when I used to play, just always thinking about the right pitch to throw. The first home run was off a terrible slider. Why throw the same pitch, or okay, it was a curveball. Why throw the same off-speed pitch in the same location to the same guy? Like he won't golf it like he did 400 feet to get the lead. Man, you have to learn from your previous mistakes. You don't throw him that pitch. And if you're going to throw a breaking ball, I want you to bounce the ball and force him to chase it, okay, instead of just try to get a strike with it. Like, you need to be better than that. And, I mean, he's not the only guy that I would love to rant about, but, I mean, you know, the entire staff deserves it besides Fried.
Max Fried, has been the one bright spot for this Yankee rotation. I mean, he has an ERA around one. He was expected to be the number two starter for the Yankees, and then obviously Gerrit Cole goes down, Louis Cille goes down, Clark Schmidt goes down, but he should be back. I think he's starting tomorrow.
Yeah,
which is not the biggest help for the Yankees, but it's better if we can replace someone who's been struggling like Will Warren or I think Marcus Stroman is going to go on the IL now.
He's already on IL.
He's on it.
Yeah, he's on IL. So Schmidt's going to take that spot in the rotation.
His ERA was like 11. So.
You should have heard what the Yankees fans were saying about him at the game. Oh, my God, bro.
Can you say it?
Oh, no. Not on this podcast. It's for a different podcast.
Off camera, we'll find out.
they were really kind of betraying him, you know. I hate seeing that. Like, it's so weird, the culture around here.
It's how New York is.
Exactly. It is how New York is. It's not, you know, I'm a D-backs fan, born and raised Arizona. I went to D-backs games my whole life. Like, that's all I experienced. And then coming here, culture, the vibe, everything about it's different. And hearing what they say, like the obscenities they're yelling at these players that they were just like cheering for maybe like 10 pitches ago, it's just crazy the switch up. Like, you New Yorkers kind of do.
I don't think we ever were cheering for Marcus Stroman. Like, in pinstripes. Like, not even last year, bro. Like, he's a guy, especially because he made the comment in the offseason about how he's a starter. He's not a bullpen guy.
Oh, my God.
And he's a pitcher. He's a starter. Not just a pitcher. He's a starter. So if you're going to put out that claim, prove it.
Back it up.
Back up the claim. You can't go your last outing two outs into the first, get out the inning, or be taken out the game, and then talking about knee inflammation. Listen, I never pray for injuries. All right, I never think that people fake injuries, but if this was a moment where someone would fake an injury because you want to play someone on the IL and just get him away from the team, this is the situation. Like, I think I would have heard about his knee being an issue before the game or like during the week if there was actually injury concern. But you're telling me that after you had this kind of tragic outing, now you have problems with your knee? Like, that's one of those Aaron Boone moves where it's like he knows he needs to get this man, like, out of the town and try to re-ramp something, fix up something. So let me just put you in the IL right now, 15 days, go rehab, figure something out with your mechanics, and we'll, you know, switch out you, Schmidt. Stroman, man.
I don't think an inflamed knee was causing you to throw pitches right down the middle.
I mean, he was to righties, he was staying outside, which is a good strategy, but literally he would throw seven pitches outside, not do anything else.
He does that with anyone. If it's a lefty, it's outside. If it's a righty, it's outside. He thinks because he has movement on his pitches and he tries to get location. Like, he's afraid to throw it inside to a batter, and I don't understand the reasons why. And that's why he's walking the entire world.
Yeah,
like,
I know. It's bad. It's hard to watch because he doesn't throw very hard, obviously.
No, he throws 90, man.
He relies on his movement and location.
Yeah, he's quote-unquote a finesse pitcher.
Yeah.
But
which I won't
and it was
disagree.
Raining. You know, it was raining. It was freezing, you know. So I will, as a pitcher, I will say, you know, it does affect the ball a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was missing so consistently. Like, he was missing very accurately, as in he would hit the exact same spot every time, but miss. It would always be a ball. And the hitters were just, I mean, they were just taking until they got a pitch that they wanted to hit. And then they would go and slap that ball. they would put it past everybody in the outfield. And, you know, like, it's hard to, you know, sympathize with them. And I get where he's coming from with, like, the weather and all that affecting the baseball. But, I mean, you're so accurate, you're hitting that same spot every time. You know, that shows that you could be doing the same thing in the strike zone, you know, or at least cause them to chase, because they're just going to sit there until they get a good pitch when you're throwing it at the same ball every single time, you know?
Yeah, I just – this pitching staff, honestly, is just, as a Yankee fan, just made me sad. But, I mean, there's bright spots on this Yankee team, and I think one of them is Ben Rice. Ben Rice has been – just amazing for the Yankees so far. If you've ever looked at Baseball Savant, which is a really advanced stat kind of thing, if you look at his Baseball Savant page, every single stat on here that's good is basically in the red.
Yeah, above average.
Batting run value, 100 percentile. Ex-WOBA, 99th percentile. Expected batting average, 94th percentile. Expected slugging, 99th percentile. Exit velocity, 98. Barrel percent, 100. Hard hit percent. I mean,
Keep going.
Sweet spot, 74. Bat speed, 89.
Screw
it up, 75. Chase percent, 97. Walk rate, 93%. I mean, Ben Rice has just been, he put on like 20 pounds of muscle or something in the offseason. He changed his approach. Last season, he got home run happy after hitting 3 home runs against the Red Sox, which was an amazing game. But he's hitting the inside pitches now. As our DH, as the Yankees DH, just been so much better. I mean, he's hitting the inside pitch, he's hitting the outside pitch, he's hitting everything. His OPS is almost 1,100. He's slugging almost 700. His batting average is 300. I mean, he's basically putting up Aaron Judge type numbers right now with 5 home runs. He's been phenomenal as not only just the leadoff hitter for the Yankees, but like a big piece of this Yankee offense that wasn't expected to play as, I mean, they expected him to play better than last season, and maybe he barely made the roster, to be honest. He was one of the last people to make the roster, but I mean, he's been such a bright spot next to Judge and Goldschmidt. Just Ben Rice has just been amazing.
Listen, I'm Dominican and Puerto Rican. Anytime I see that man get a hit, it's Ben Arroz. Okay, that's not Rice anymore. He's actually fake Spanish, I'm not gonna lie.
He's fluent, though.
Yeah, he's way better than I am in Spanish, so he's most definitely. But for him to be third on team in hits and just everything you said to his numbers, like, he got the spot because Stanton is out. You know, like, obviously they have Goldschmidt at first base. Where is he going to play? He's not a catcher anymore, all right? They're really playing him at first base. And he's the primary DH now, and he's taken the opportunities that he's given. And no one thought that he was a leadoff type of guy, but the man gets on base. I have to give him credit what credit is due. And he is the guy where when everyone else is in a slump, like the no-names that are going to have supposedly big seasons like Chisholm and Volpe and Wells, he's a guy, he comes in here, didn't really expect much. You just wanted him to fill the gap until Stanton comes back. But now he's in conversations about, like, what's going to happen with him when Stanton comes back. You know, like, his production has been great. Where are you going to be able to play the man? And honestly, I'm happy to see this improvement from him because, like, he kind of showed it last year. And you just knew that with more time and just more, you know, just experience, that there was something with him. And I'm just happy for I'm happy for the man.
And I'm so glad you brought up what they're going to do when Stanton comes back, because what do the Yankees do when Stanton comes back?
They have to keep him. He'll be primarily on the bench.
Yeah, Stanton can't play the outfield, so he's DH.
No, yeah, Stanton is always going to be the DH, but at the same time, Rice is going to stay on the team because I think the Yankees' approach would be, you see how good Ben is producing. They're going to kind of give Stanton a lot more days off to maintain that health, I think. You're going to see, like, let's say he comes back in the summertime. I'll say, like, by September, that's when you might see more of a full-time Stanton playing majority of the week. But I can see them splitting time at DH just so Stanton can kind of be healthy for when it matters the most. And I'm not complaining, because especially as a left-handed bat, like, we've talked about how lefties can really thrive at Yankee Stadium, and he's like becoming that true lefty threat at Yankee Stadium right now. It's just, I can keep on talking about Ben Rice, but I don't want to make this podcast like an hour long just because of this man.
I mean, I just love what Ben Rice has been doing. I mean, but another player is Paul Goldschmidt, which we didn't expect.
Ex-Diamondback. That's an ex-Diamondback.
Ex-Diamondback.
I grew up watching him.
Paul Goldschmidt, as Chase, as you can attest to this, is a great player. But last year, he had a bit of a down year.
Yep.
But this year, he's been hot. I mean, he's just been getting on base a ton. He's hitting liners that land just in front of outfielders, which you would expect to maybe mean he's getting lucky, but he's really not. His expected numbers are really high just alongside his normal numbers. He's just hitting the ball hard right where people aren't. He's hitting up down the line. He's got multiple doubles on the season. He's only got one home run, but that's not a big issue for Goldschmidt. I mean, the power will come eventually, but I mean, he's just been getting on base, and Paul Goldschmidt's been a bright spot in this lineup for people who played well at the beginning of the year and have kind of slumped so far. So
honestly, like, when we picked him up in the offseason, I'm thinking, like, yeah, he's definitely an upgrade over Rizzo.
Rizzo had brain damage. I mean, Rizzo was,
yeah, that's a whole nother story. But Paul Goldschmidt is not only just the production he's been doing offensively, like, he, you know, tied with Judge with hits, and I mean, his average is amazing. I mean, I know it's only been like 16 games, but it's been a great 16 game stretch for him.
Yeah.
His defense has been amazing at first base. I think that's also another plus. Like, he's able to do both sides. And for a man who's admitted that last year was a bad year, even though his second half was what you expected from Paul Goldschmidt, and his first half was bad, for him to start the first half of the season on this run and hopefully see the consistency throughout the season, that's what makes me feel good. Like, I was expecting, like, all right, he's probably going to start off slow. That's what happened last year. I won't be surprised if this year, you know, he's on the older side of things. But he is truly, and he's hitting the ball to all assets of the field. You know, he's pulling the ball, he's hitting opposite field. We don't necessarily need him for the power right now. Like, the power will be there. He's going to be a 20 home run guy. He'll get the RBIs, but he's a guy where even at the leadoff position, like, he was producing. So it's like, you know, you can put Paul Goldschmidt at number one. He could go behind Judge. He can go fourth behind Judge and Belly. Like, there's so many spots you can put Goldschmidt, and he's going to produce. I think that's a great feeling for the Yankees when you know first base has been an issue for not just last year, but a couple years that you haven't had an answer at that position. And I know he's only a one-year deal, but if this can be a great year for a first baseman in New York to help us and to the playoffs and hopefully gets our goals, I mean, I will take that any day of the week.
And you also have Ben Rice in case something
doesn't
work out.
Exactly. I mean, obviously, like, you know, Goldschmidt's the way better defender and everything. So, you know, they're probably not going to put Ben Rice at like first base most of the time, but just knowing that like if he's going to produce like he is this year, and that's your future first baseman, and he's learning from someone like Paul Goldschmidt this year too, like I'm thinking about next year, you know, and it's just there's a lot of things to be good about.
Yeah, I mean there's so much to look forward to for next year, even for the Yankees with someone like Ben Rice learning from like Paul Goldschmidt, kind of like a quarterback sitting behind a veteran.
Yeah.
But moving on from the Yankees, let's talk about the NL West just in its entirety. And I know Chase is excited with the Diamondbacks, but everyone looks forward to the Dodgers. Maybe not looks forward to the Dodgers, but foresaw the Dodgers being the number one team in the MLB, number one team obviously in their division. But right now, the Dodgers sit at 12-6 and they're third place in the NL West. They're behind the Padres, who are 14-3. Behind the Giants, who are 12-4, they're just in front of the Diamondbacks, who are 9-7, and then obviously the Rockies are 3-13.
Imagine being 12-6, and right now I'm being third in your division.
That is insane.
After starting off 8-0,
yeah,
to begin the year.
But a team that started even better than the Dodgers overall were the Padres, who are currently also perfect at home. They're 11-0 at home.
That's nuts.
They just beat the Cubs last night, I think 10-3. They had a series with the Rockies at home where they did not allow a run the entire series, which, again, it's the Rockies.
Nuts. I mean,
but still, still insane. Just the Padres have played so well, and it's not just been their hitting, which has always been a good spot for them, but their pitching. Their pitching's been immaculate, just insane.
Yeah, you saw it from last year that they were one of those up-and-coming teams in the second half of the year, and you thought that in the playoffs like that was going to be the dangerous team coming out of the National League. But then, of course, when you get the Dodgers first round, and that was a great series, you know, it's two powerhouses, honestly. The Padres, they have a complete team. You know, they have, like you said, they have the hitting, they have the pitching, the bullpen, they have the coaching. It's, everything's working out well for them. Now, with all great teams, you know, there's going to be some kind of slid around middle of the season and hopefully not the end of the season. But to be able to start off this well in the beginning, you can kind of prepare yourself for when that happens, and like you'll feel good, like you're still going to be top in your division. And this is a division where it was always going to be the Padres versus Dodgers. I'm not gonna lie, did not see the Giants coming into this picture, and they are 12-4, just embarrassed the Yankees.
Okay,
so
okay.
I'm sorry, I can't be so biased.
It wasn't embarrassing,
it was embarrassing.
It was pretty embarrassing,
it was.
Yeah. It was embarrassing. Come on now. Continue. I mean, like, you have these four teams in the NL West should be making the playoffs. I think everyone's predictions of the season saw four teams out of this division making the playoffs, with only one being able to be a division like winner. Like, that's kind of crazy.
You know? Tough.
It's tough. And I know you're a Diamondbacks fan.
I am.
Being 9-7 is a good record to start off. You know, not too bad, not too good, but like, when you're in a division with the Padres, Giants, and Dodgers, like, how do you feel about that, man?
I mean, yeah, no, it's tough because, again, like, I grew up watching us play these teams all the time, and, like, you know, I grew up when the Padres and even the Giants and the Rockies, none of us were like, you know, powerhouse teams, you know? D-backs haven't been good until, like, the last couple of years for a while, and it's just, like, I just love to see them. I love to see them succeed so much. Like, it's because everybody here's got their team. You know, most of the people are the Yankees. Some of them are the Mets. Like, I'm kind of a bit of a, you know, an odd one out with the D-backs. And so I follow them really closely. It's really fun to follow them closely. And I just love what they're doing. They're such an explosive team. They're such a fun to watch team. Like, Corbin Carroll is playing just like 2 years ago, Corbin Carroll. Last year he didn't play as well. But, like, he's just that spark you need on your offense. And then you got Perdomo. He's kind of matching the same thing. Pavin Smith coming out of nowhere, hitting like, I think he's like 360 right now. It's just unbelievable. You just love to see it. However, I do wish we would stop waiting till like the last couple of innings to actually like put an effort and win games. Like, I think I was at my club baseball formal the other day, and I was watching with another kid that's from Arizona.
Yeah.
And we were watching bottom of the ninth. We were down 4-0, and We somehow ended up walking it off 5-4. It was ridiculous.
Dang.
And I was super happy, but I was also like, hey, maybe we just put up a couple runs that's in like, I don't know, the third inning or something instead of maybe the bottom of the ninth, you know? But like I said, just such a fun team to watch. I cannot wait to see how their season plays out.
And to your point and to your just team, like, you guys led the league last year in runs, I'm pretty sure,
yep,
and didn't make the playoffs.
Yep.
And you guys, I think, answered a big question in the offseason by getting Corbin Burns. You know, like, your pitching feels more solidified now. The hitting was never the issue. I mean, you can always get more pieces. No one's going to say no to more. But you guys are a complete team, pitching and hitting-wise as well, that when you have to go against juggernauts like the Dodgers and the Padres, I wouldn't necessarily say those are going to be easy losses for the Diamondbacks. I would say those are actually gruesome series that any team can come on top, because all three, and even I guess I got to put the Giants in there now, like, all four of these teams have something in common. You guys have complete teams. If it's pitching, if it's hitting, you guys have the ability that with all the depth that you have, you can have like a next man up mentality if someone was to unfortunately go down and still be able to like maintain your season. I'm excited to see like the NL West, how that's going to go, because I like to compare that division to the AL East, you know, like, there was the Yankees are supposed to be number one. The Orioles have always been up there, even though they're bottom right now. Boston had a great offseason, so who knows where they're going to go. The Rays are Rays. Like,
the Rays are...
they always are good and average. They're going to be the number one or number three, honestly. I've never seen them in the bottom. The Blue Jays suck, but hey, they are having a decent start to the year, right? So, but I don't see that going any further. But still, to my point, like, these are juggernaut kind of divisions, and when you have like all these teams and there's not that many spots into the playoffs, like, you just have to, like, you're not only trying to win as many games as you want to, but you're also like looking to the side, like, how is the Padres doing? How's the Dodgers doing? Like, I need to make sure like I'm keeping up with them, because they can go hot any moment and take me out the race, even if I'm having a good season. So that's one thing I get afraid of, even as a Yankee fan. Like, I can say the same thing about the Orioles, even Boston. Like, they can easily, like, take the Yankees down from, like, number one, and then I got, like, scratch and claw, like, five games back at the late of the season and pray that things go wrong for them and things go right for us, you know? So I never want to get into that situation.
Knowing the Yankees, they're going to play the Rockies and get swept or something. Cause
all right, let's not... can we not put...
okay, they always tend to they do it, though. It happens every year.
Now, you're not wrong. Listen, the Yankees are in a stretch of games where they don't have their next off day until the 24th, and it is April 15th. So we are going to have a lot of pitching.
Which we don't have.
Going to need a lot of offensive production,
which they might have,
to save the pitching, you know. Like, people like Rendon, I know we're getting back into Yankees, but people like Rendon, even though he's been sketchy, I'm appreciating that he's always going six innings. He can get to seventh inning, because, like, we need that length. Max Fried's a guy who can get the length for us too, you know. Now we just kind of have to trust the Will Warrens and hopefully Clark Schmidt after he kind of gets accumulated into their rotation, you know.
I mean, we also saw... yesterday, we saw Carlos Carrasco kind of cooked a little bit.
He didn't do bad. I mean,
Cookie kind of cooked.
He's a fifth starter for a reason. I just need him to go five innings. Yeah. Like, in a perfect world, you have your number one and two starters going like seven. Your, you know, three and four, if they can get to six, that's great. And then the number five going five, like, that helps preserve the bullpen as well. Because I was looking at the bullpen charts and everything, like, we abuse guys.
Oh, yeah. Tim Hill is just getting...
the Yankees are known for abusing pitchers, unfortunately, especially the bullpen pitchers, because they think, oh, yeah, the starters, it's only April. The starters can go, like, five innings, and we have the bullpen. Like, no, bro, like, the starters can go seven, okay? The bullpen needs to be fresh for October, not fresh for April. So, like, let's fix that up. And that's something that other teams do well in. Teams like the Diamondbacks, teams like the Dodgers, Padres, like, there's a reason why these teams are good. Even the Mets, you know, like, it's so many.
Oh, not the Mets.
I know. I had to mention the Mets.
We
got to
talk about the Mets, though. We have to.
Go talk about the Mets, then. I guess so.
The big thing for the Mets, not that they're, you know, they're playing pretty well. But to be honest, I mean, as a D1 Mets hater, they haven't played really a good team yet. The best team they've played is the Astros, and the Astros made a lot of changes this season. They also have Jose Altuve. 5'4" in left field, and he's not the best defender.
Listen,
but go ahead.
At this station, being a D1 Mets hater, God bless, because this whole station is Mets fans.
I know.
This whole
station
is true. Like, you're gonna have to crawl, and you're gonna have to argue for years.
I can argue with all my rings.
Good. We can't use that anymore.
No, we can't.
Because they keep on beating us in these regular season bouts.
Yeah, they did sweep us last year.
I was not prepared for a Subway Series World Series last year. Because if I have to lose, I'd rather lose to the Dodgers than the Mets in a World Series. If I had to,
oh, you know, if we lost to the Mets, we were screwed.
If I lost to the Mets, I wasn't making it to the spring semester. Like, I was going to transfer and graduate somewhere else, okay? Yeah. Because the amount of people in the station that would have talked my ear off until I left and probably would have kept on talking after I left, I was not going to deal with that. But go on, you know, like, yeah, to your point, Mets are, I mean, they're first in division, 11-5. They've been doing good, even though they've had a very easy schedule. But I won't.
I won't say it. I mean, honestly, the division isn't nearly as hard as the AL East or anything. But anyway.
Well, when you have like Philadelphia is supposed to be World Series favorites every year.
The
like,
Braves were supposed to be good. Yeah, the Braves are 5-11.
Yeah, that's the one team that I think they're gonna have a nice second half. You know, I think they're gonna come back and make some noise, but. Right now, it's definitely just a Philly and Mets fight in the division.
Yeah, it is.
And hopefully, you know, Philly can win the division because I don't want the Mets to win a division.
But anyway, known to many Yankee fans as a traitor, Juan Soto made some comments to the New York Post about this season so far. As he has definitely not been playing well. Juan Soto's definitely been playing pretty well. You know, he's Juan Soto. He's not just going to fall apart randomly, even after signing a 15-year contract. But he said, I had the best hitter in baseball hitting, as in he's talking about Aaron Judge, behind me last season. I was getting more attacked and more pitches in the strike zone. I was pitched different last year. So what do we think about that comment that Soto makes about, I mean, there was a famous interview of him saying, of him being asked, who's the best hitter in baseball? And he said, me. But what do we think about this? I mean, it's an interesting comment to make, especially with how he's been playing this season. I mean, what do we think about it?
I think it's an absolutely valid take. I mean, if you're hitting with somebody so talented as Aaron Judge behind you, teams are afraid to put you on. They have to attack you, because if they don't attack you and they throw you on first base, you know, you're giving up RBI potential to Aaron Judge, who's very likely going to put the ball in play pretty hard. Or then you have to pitch around Judge. Now you got whoever's up next with two runners on. You know, it's just you never want to put yourself in that situation. Whereas now, if Soto, I don't even know who's hitting behind Soto right now, but like it's not Aaron Judge. So
Pete Alonso.
Well, yeah. Pete Alonso is the one who bats behind Soto now. And then, to be fair, he's been having an amazing start to his
he's
year.
He's no Aaron Judge.
He's no Aaron Judge. And for sure, like, this will go down. All right, listen, he's a, you know, 240 kind of hitter, home runs. He's not a 345 hitter like he is right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, take the hard start while you can. And, I mean, right now people are not going to want to pitch to Alonso if he's going to keep hitting like this. Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking like Juan Soto, who's a 250 hitter right now, you have a quote-unquote dangerous hitter behind you still because of how good Alonso is so far start the year. Again, to your point, Derek, like, he's no Aaron Judge. No one's Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge can do what he's doing right now consistently throughout the season, but you're still going to be pitched differently. Like, people are not going to want to pitch to Alonso until they figure him out and then he's good, and then people are going to not want to pitch to you, right? So you should be taking advantage right now that he's hot of getting the pitches thrown at you, and he's not really doing much with it. Like, I'm not saying he's having a bad year, but, you know, he started last year as a 300 hitter and getting on base every at bat and not striking out and all that. So to be able to say those comments, obviously you miss Aaron Judge. Okay, listen, you miss the Yankees, and I'm not going to, you can't come back now. All right, we have another number 22. He's basically a Dominican.
Ben Rice.
He's basically a Dominican just like you. Okay, he's been doing just great. But Juan Soto needs to realize that he made his decision, which is not a bad decision. Listen, the Mets are not a bad team. They offer you the money. If I was going to make almost $800 million, I would become a Met player if I have to, okay? So, yeah, I mean.
I mean, for $800 million. I mean,
if I had to go to Boston for $800 million, I guess I gotta go to Boston, guys.
No.
I twist my arm. I guess I'll go.
I'm sorry, guys.
That's a little far.
I gotta go to Boston for $800 million, okay? But
I don't know about that.
I have to. But Juan Soto, you know, I'm hoping that he kind of gets out this. I don't even want to call it a slid, like, or a slump, because, like, he's not doing terrible. It's just not to the par of what the contract is, to what the expectations are. So, you know, just wait until May, June. He's going to be the hitter he was, guys. Like, he's only, like, what, 25, I think, maybe even 24. He has so many years with ya. Just wait and see. But I know you wish that Aaron Judge was next to you. Okay, just I'm glad that you admit it. It was sunshine and rainbows to me when I heard that comment.
Isn't it kind of crazy, like a thing to say, especially from like that caliber of a player to just say like, well, you know, I'm not hitting as good because I mean I'm getting pitched differently too. Like,
yeah,
if you're that guy,
you don't want
first.
It doesn't
matter.
You don't want to admit that. Yes,
you don't want to admit it. That's what I'm saying because it shows weakness. You know,
exactly.
You gotta just be like, hey man, I'm just a slow start. You know, like what do you? Sometimes things are different. You know, but I'm gonna figure it out like I always do. That's what you should say. Not, oh well, you know, I had such a talented dude behind me. Also, you're throwing shade to Pete Alonso at that point.
A little,
saying,
yeah. I didn't even think of it like that.
Like,
a little bit, yeah.
Oh, you're no Aaron Judge, dude. Like, you know, even though he's having a really good start to the season. So it's like there's a couple things here that kind of show maybe Juan Soto's a little not insecure or anything, but it's just like maybe not that quality of a leader. Because I feel like moving into this role on a team, you know, you have to be a leader as Juan Soto coming to the Mets and immediately making this kind of a comment. It's just really not what you want to see. Right?
I don't think he was ever the leader in any situation he was in. Even in Washington, he was the kid, you know, so he was looking at the leadership. In San Diego, it was Manny Machado and the guys who were established there. In New York, it's Aaron Judge. With the Mets, it's Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso. So to him, it's like he's never had to be in a situation where he's the number one guy having to be the leader. There's a difference between being the number one guy and being the leader.
Yeah.
So he kind of just listens and, you know, just directs based off everyone else's vibe and just all of that. Like he, for those comments that he said about obviously Aaron Judge and then being pitched different, best hitter in the game, like I agree with you. But I'm also thinking like this is a adaptation period for him. Like he knows he's gonna be here for the next 15 years and he's trying to get, you know, accustomed to the Mets and how they run things. So like the month of April is going to be that kind of probationary period for him. You know, he's learning, he's growing. And by, I feel like by May and by summertime, like, you're going to see a different Juan Soto. You're going to see a even better Met team that is playing right now, hopefully. And when all the other pieces start coming in, because listen, Lindor's still not hitting yet. Vientos still not hitting yet. Nimmo's okay. You know, the rest of the team is... wow, that's actually garbage. Besides,
dang.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry to all the Met fans that listen to this podcast. Yeah, it's really just Alonso. But I don't feel bad for that comment. But once things start clicking for Mets players and, you know, pitching has been great and they're still waiting for pitches to come, you know, like things are going to look good, guys. Like I have hope for the New York Mets of 2025.
Sadly, they have quite a bit of hope. I mean, their biggest thing is their pitching staff, which a lot of people shook their heads when Clay Holmes was announced as their opening day starter. But he
and look at him now.
He hasn't been horrible. He certainly hasn't been amazing for the Mets, but he's definitely not been bad and definitely not what Yankee fans probably expected from Clay Holmes. But their bullpen, I mean, his ERA is like 4.
No, I know. I mean, yesterday he had, you know, 5 innings, 1-run ball, 8 strikeouts. Like that's.
I mean, he's still walking a lot of people. That's always been his problem. But
yeah,
the Mets pitching staff is definitely not sustainable at the level maybe that they're playing at right now. And I don't know how well they're going to continue to play because their pitching staff isn't necessarily loaded. They kind of have the same problems as the Yankees right now.
Quickly just looking at the schedule coming up, because like we kind of mentioned, like it's low-key an easier start for the Mets right now with who they've had to play to begin with. I mean, after Minnesota, it's St. Louis, who's actually been pretty good to start the year. And then Philadelphia, Washington, Arizona. I mean, this is a stretch where I feel like the Mets continue doing good going into St. Louis and Philadelphia series. Then, like, all right, you know, like, I can't really say much right now about the Mets. They are producing. They're playing to the back of their card, you know. Like, I have to give them some props. And the pitching staff is holding it down before Manaya comes back, Montez comes back, and like when all the pieces are together, like the Mets are actually a good team. Like, so to be able to play good while you aren't fully healthy is a huge plus that I'll say for Mets fans. That's the only positive thing that you get from me on this podcast and any Noseby's podcast, anything on this radio station about the Mets is the only positive thing you'll get from me.
Yeah.
Don't expect anymore.
The only thing that you'll hear me back up about the Mets as well. But I think that'll almost do it for us today. Just want to mention one more thing about the Yankees. Jason Dominguez should stick to hitting left, and he should not ever switch to his right because he has one hit, and he's one for like 20, and they pinch hit a lefty. It was lefty-lefty for Dominguez, and they pinch hit for Bellinger, so it was another lefty-lefty. Don't know why they did that.
It wasn't even to pitch it. It was because of defense. Yeah.
But still, Jason Dominguez should, I mean, honestly, for a lot of switch hitters, they have one good side. I don't know why
Cabrera is a lefty.
Yeah.
It's like, still switch.
I mean, honestly, just stick to it. It's harder to have two sides than just stick with one side and deal with the downside of hitting lefty-lefty, in my opinion. But, I mean, it just depends on the hitter. I mean, Jason Dominguez right now is not hitting well righty, so I would just stick lefty. But if you guys have anything, any last comments you want to throw in there, any Diamondbacks stuff, any...
I was just about to say, actually, I just realized I play two series against the Diamondbacks, very, very close to back-to-back, towards the end of April, early May.
The Mets,
and,
right?
Yeah, the Mets. Yeah. And I got to get some tickets to the games. I was just looking at it. I was like, you just reminded me, man. Like, I've been to the Yankees D-backs game. I need to see a Mets D-backs game now. Like, that's gonna be cool.
And you've been to Citi Field, right?
Never.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't either, so.
Citi Field is a lot better than Yankee Stadium. I'll say that.
What?
As well. Unfortunately.
Whoa.
Unfortunately.
Well, we got in this podcast for Angels. It's crazy. But thank you, everyone, for joining us today on Nosebleeds. I have been your host, Derek Boyer, joined by Chase Benson and Angel Ducret, who has also been our producer today, kind of doing both roles. Thank you so much for doing that. But Bobby Chaffardini is our sports director, and Nosebleeds is a production of WFUV Sports.